Peter did not know how to swim. In fact, in those days, nobody did. In that culture, in that time, they were just not people who played in the water. That was not a habit kept by kids. You didn't go down to the YMCA and teach your little ones how to put their face in the water. That just wasn't part of the way things were. So Peter did not know how to swim. The sea was beautiful and ever-present. It was a useful feature of daily life for Peter and for his family, for the community there. It was a means of conveyance, right? You could take your boat and you can go up and down the coast. It was a giant reservoir of providence. You could pull out of it fish and all manner of things to eat and keep. The sea was wonderful. It was also a kind of a boundary. And you would think of that sea as something that separated dry land from dry land. It would separate one culture from another, one peoples from another peoples, them and us. Peter didn't know how to swim. The sea was useful and it was beautiful, but it was also dangerous. Every family in Peter's village, every family had a story to tell about that. And most of them knew an uncle or a brother, a cousin, a grandfather who had drowned in that sea. Everyone knew that Galilee's lake, was a cauldron of storms, fast and violent and powerful, overwhelming rain and wind, sunshine that would give way to darkness in an instant. And Peter didn't know how to swim. He grew up hearing stories around the dinner table. He'd grown up hearing stories around the campfire, stories about the chaos, stories about the evil and the darkness of the sea, that old Babylonian name, Tiamat, the god, the demon, the owner, the destroyer, the enemy of peace and life and meaning. It was that one that presided over the waves, and Peter didn't know how to swim. Matthew's account says that Jesus made the disciples get into the boat to go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus made them get into the boat and go. I would have protested. You know, you wonder, did they hesitate at this command, at this order? Did somebody stop and maybe they thought, we got to do a mutiny here because this is a bad idea. They all knew it. They all knew that it was the wrong thing to do. Peter didn't know how to swim. None of them did. You know, they would have looked out across. It's only 3.5 miles from one side to the other, across the waves. To what? To the Gentile side of the lake. Over the danger, over the chaos, over the risk, the peril, the darkness, the doom. To where? Oh no, you can't send us there. Not to the other side, to the Gentile side. Jesus made them get into the boat. Though none of them wanted to go to that place where the people were alien, people of different language and clothing, people of different theology, people of different culture and appearance and food and rules and practice and habits, and just in every way were repugnant to these good people on our side of the lake. Here's Peter. He didn't know how to swim. It must have seemed like an impossible mission. The wrong time of day, the wrong means of transportation, the wrong destination. Was he tempted to say, no, 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 I'm not going to do it. I'd rather walk. Walk on the dry land. Walk among familiar people. Walk where there's a safer way of life with a less wild purpose in mind. Do you remember that story later on in the book of Acts? The church is trying to sort out its relationship, its responsibilities to the Gentiles, you know, them, the other ones. And as they're trying to argue their way through and have that careful and thoughtful debate among themselves, I don't know, Peter takes a nap, Peter goes to sleep, something happens, but what happens is a dream. And in the dream, there comes down from above a sheet. And what's on the sheet? You're trying to remember. Food. Food comes down. And it's not, you know, our kind of food. It's, well, it's their kind of food. It's Gentile stuff. Stuff that Peter would in his life have never even looked at it, let alone smelled it or touched it or put it in his mouth. But then what does the voice say? Peter, eat. Walt Longgren wrote a book. It's really a book about those early apostles. And in this particular scene, he paints this vivid picture of a Peter who's nauseous, just revulsed at the prospect of getting too close to this alien food. I won't tell you how the scene ends, but Peter did not want to cross over. Peter didn't know how to swim, and surely he didn't want to go on the trip. Well, sure enough, by evening, what starts to happen? Like it does in all those lakes, the wind starts to blow. Some of us know better, and that's why I always bring my watch along so I can tell what time of day it is so I can get back. The wind started to blow, and it was a big one this time, and no paddling, no bailing, no amount of gear to throw over the side would have made it a safer trip. And you know, did Peter take some perverse pleasure in realizing that he was right? Was it vindicating? I mean, along with the fear, along with the anger, and you know, did he say to himself, I knew we shouldn't have done this. I knew it would be bad timing and a bad destination and a bad route. I knew this would turn out badly. Did he wonder about how he was going to put his finger in Jesus' face and say, see, I told you you were wrong, and I was right. It was just about the time that Peter is cursing and cussing and shaking his fist at the sky. Well, when one of the other ones, I don't know, was it James or was it John, they see something. And their eyes must have been stinging from the salt water blowing across the bow. They must have been holding on for dear life, but as they looked, could it be this ghost-like appearance of someone or something coming on the surface of the deep? Ah, said one of them, Tiamat. Tiamat's come to get us. We've had it. The devil of the darkness, the owner of the storm, this anti-god of the chaos, is coming to drag them all under, walking on top as if he was in charge. Did the crew clench their fists, ready to fight? Did the crew close their eyes, resigned to fill their lungs with seawater? Did the crew close their hearts, ready to climb on top of each other just to keep their noses above the surface? What happens in a person's mind at that moment of certain death? In Matthew's gospel, it only says that they cried out and that they were terrified. Then comes verse 27, this fulcrum in the dramatic narrative. It says, but Jesus immediately spoke to them, take heart, it's me. Don't be afraid. I wonder what flashed through Peter's head. Surely it was doubt. Tiamat walks in the water, not Jesus. Only Tiamat rules the waves. Only Tiamat owns the storms and death. Jesus, is that you? Is that really you? Then get me out of here. Get me out of here now. Get me out of this expletive deleted, boat, out of this place, out of this predicament, out of this crazy assignment to cross over to those Gentiles. Then come three words after he starts to sink. What are they? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. The most pathetic, the most honest, the most emphatic and urgent words that Peter has ever said in his life. Lord, save me. Peter didn't know how to swim. Still, he would rather risk death than give in to Tiamat. He would rather risk death than go across over to those aliens, rather risk death than take his chances with the others in the boat that night. I don't really know how to swim either. Do you? But here we are, stuck together in this ship, among members of this crew, this boat, our boat, on a voyage toward places we don't know, a voyage toward places we wouldn't have chosen for ourselves, voyage that will stretch us for all that we've got. I don't know how to swim, but I look at the news and the storms are coming. I look around and I see that we're taking on water. I look around and, well, is there safety over there or over there or over there? Where are we supposed to go? Lord, save me. Save me from the chaos. Save me from the danger. Save me from places I don't want to go. Lord, save me from me. Lord, save me. Would you say that with me? Lord, save me. One more time. Lord, save me. Amen.